Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 23rd, 2015. Wow, 2015. Wow. Apparently, I'm using a new calendar now. I'll teach everyone how to use it later. Kelly Gumont, how are you today?
I'm gooded.
Yeah.
I'm trying to speak Jeff.
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm having trouble with it, too. Brian Chaffin, how are you?
SMH, man.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Me too. Yep. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Harry's, the razor company. I'll talk about them soon. But first, I thought that we should talk a little bit about what Senator Al Franken is up to. And that would be sending letters to the FTC, which he does upon occasion. And this time, the letter he's sending to the FTC is requesting an investigation into Apple's practices in streaming music pricing. His big concern is that Apple is so big that they are now wielding their market power, and they are creating for themselves an unfair advantage in the streaming music space. Part of that is a concern that Apple has been pushing record labels into abandoning free tier options for streaming music services. But his other concern is that Apple is creating an unfair advantage for itself through the App Store, because it gets to keep all the money that it collects from its customers' streaming music purchases, whereas other companies, because they're doing in-app purchases, have to hand over 30% of that to Apple. And he feels that's forcing companies to charge higher rates on the iTunes store, or excuse me, through in-app purchases on the iPhone. And because they're having to do that, Apple is at an advantage because its prices for Apple Music now appear lower.
He's right. Now, the question is whether or not Apple has the legal right to do that. So, you know, Al Franken has been the single best advocate for consumers and for such things as privacy and for such things as competition in the telecommunications markets and I'm not quite sure where this particular field belongs, but he has been one of the few politicians paying attention to this stuff. And I certainly hope that Apple fans don't dismiss him simply because he's attacking Apple now. He's not even attacking Apple. He's just, you know, he's being critical of Apple and asking that Apple be looked at.
Right. At this point, he's not accusing them of anything. He wants to find out if there's anything, if there's something going on here that perhaps should not be.
And he's kind of accusing them.
Well, he says he's asking because he thinks that this might be what's happening. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm with you on this, Brian. I like seeing when Al Franken has sent a letter to somebody, because I like that he's sort of standing up for every man. You know, there aren't a lot, like, without turning this into a completely political conversation, there's not a whole lot of let's stand up for the little guy happening in Washington, D.C. for the most part. So when it does happen, it's sort of refreshing. And it's really nice to see Al Franken doing that. And it also especially warms my heart because I grew up watching him very late on TV.
Yes, you did.
So it's very nice to see that he is sort of using those powers for good now. And, you know, that's just bonus. But it is very nice to see that someone is asking questions about, like, hey, is this really a good idea for consumers? Because there aren't a lot of people in the United States asking that question.
All right. So now the question I have is there a problem? Because Apple does not tell companies what prices they have to set in the App Store, for in-app purchases.
That's not entirely true. There's a range that is forced, 99 cents to $99.99.
Okay, so within the price range that Apple has offered, which is basically $1 to $100, companies are free to set whatever price they want for whatever it is that they're selling. So Apple isn't telling streaming music services that they have to charge more to sell their service through an in-app purchase. But companies are choosing to do so, or at least Spotify is, so that they're not losing that 30% that would otherwise go to Apple.
Well, I think we can step back a step further, Jeff. Mm-hmm. The issue here is that the late Steve Jobs wanted part of sales that were going through his App Store. He mm-hmm. was providing the App Store, so he wanted his company to benefit from things that were being sold through it. And that makes, to me, it makes a lot of sense when it comes to such things as selling apps, maybe selling your own virtual goods, selling your own in-app purchases. That sort of stuff makes sense. But when it comes to retailers selling products from other people, especially selling physical goods, or selling music or selling books, right? Amazon used to sell books through its App Store app. No, it didn't, because it didn't have an App Store app. It had a web app.
Right, it had a web app.
And they, you know, Amazon cannot conceivably, as much as I have a problem with Amazon's business strategies on a number of issues, Amazon cannot possibly sell a book and give 30% of the cut to Apple, and a retailer can't sell a movie and give Apple 30% of the cut, and people can't stream music and give Apple 30% of that cut either. The business model doesn't allow for it. The numbers don't allow for it. And we have a situation here where Apple has indeed created a rather arbitrary and artificial advantage for itself in areas where it's competing with some of its with some third party vendors, including Spotify, Pandora, etc.
So the margins then, because that's what it comes down to, really. If a company can afford to eat that 30% through their margins, then they can choose to do their in-app sales. Now, which now has me wondering, how is it that I can buy tickets through Fandango in the app on my iPhone, and I'm not paying more than I would if I just went into the theater and bought a ticket there?
Apple has relaxed some of those restrictions on third party sales, and I have no idea what the specific deal is with Fandango. I don't know if that just bypasses 30%, or if Fandango is simply willing to pay 30%, or if the theaters are willing to pay that 30%. I don't know which.
I don't know either. It was just the first app that came to mind for me. Yeah.
So I'm definitely not sure about those specifics. I mean, you know, to me, I always saw a lot more value to Apple in having iPad in particular, and kind of going back to Amazon and Kindle and whatnot. Having iOS be the premier platform for people to do stuff, and like for customers who want to be Kindle customers, the iPad should be the absolute best Kindle place, which means being able to buy books directly, in my opinion, and that people should. I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this. I think there should be a differentiation between selling in-app purchases and selling goods. Ooh, that's it. That's what I'm trying to say.
There you go. And yeah. and
boy, that was hard.
Yeah, but we got there.
But we got there. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Yeah. I agree, because the App Store as it was originally created, I think, was not really thinking about selling physical goods. And it was all about just the ethereal digital sales. And now we have problems like this where Amazon sends us out to a website to make Kindle purchases. They took in-app purchases out of Comixology after they bought that.
Right.
Which
was, frankly, not good for Apple, in my opinion. Comixology app was a great app. It was a great experience on the iPad.
It was a great revenue generator. When you finish a comic and you're laying in bed and you go, OMG, what happens next? Well, for $2.99, you can find out right now.
Yep, and you tap the button, and then you're immediately reading the comic as it downloads.
And it's so easy. It was something we were discussing just before we started recording. They made it a piece of cake to give you money. That's a good business model.
Right. And for streaming music services, I know margins are really, really tight.
Yes.
Well, there are no margins. They don't make any money.
Yeah.
Spotify doesn't make any money. Pandora doesn't make any money. None of these companies do make money. I frankly doubt that they can make money with the current deal structures that are out there in this market. And I mean, you know, so to a certain extent, I don't have a lot of sympathy, but at the same time, when a company like Spotify has got to charge that 30%, it's got to tack on that 30%. And it does create a very, very unfair competitive advantage for Apple. But the question is whether or not that's illegal and whether or not Apple actually has the right to do that.
Right.
And, you know, keep in mind that Google Play and the Android Android has like 80% share in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And Google Play has, I think, finally mostly caught up with, you know, with that 4-to-1 advantage, has finally sort of caught up with the in-app purchases and I'm sorry, with the Google Play downloads. So, I mean, you know, Apple isn't in a monopoly position here. Apple is the one that runs the store. Apple is, you know, people don't have to be in the App Store, right?
Right.
There's no, you know, they can choose to be there. And Apple theoretically has the right to set whatever terms it wants. And I don't know. I'm not really sure if Apple is doing anything wrong, though it is certainly creating this artificial advantage for itself, mm-hmm. that puts all of those services with which Apple competes at a disadvantage.
I think that's a really great way to describe it. Yeah. And now we wait and see if the FTC decides that they need to launch a formal investigation into this. And if so, then we'll see if they think that Apple is doing something that's violating laws. And right. In the meantime, we'll listen to people complain about what they're paying. You know, I want to keep talking about this, but we have a sponsor. And I want to make sure that we get to talk about that, too. And I'm hoping we have time for what could potentially be a little bit of a rant afterwards. So our sponsor this week is Harry's, the razor company. And I'm really glad that they are one of our sponsors, because they offer a really, really quality product. And for me, when you're talking about products on a show, they ought to be the best that you can get. And I think that's what Harry's is. If you're someone that uses a disposable cartridge razor system right now, and you're not using Harry's, you're overpaying. That's all there is to it. You're paying far more than you need to. Harry's sells their kits for $15. That gets you your handle, your a few blades, a little cover case to protect those blades when you're traveling, and then a shaving cream or shaving lotion, $15. And then when you get your replacement blades, instead of having to spend ridiculous amounts of money in a grocery store or a drugstore, for just a few dollars, you get a new pack of blades, and they're going to last longer than the blades you're buying in the store anyhow. So it's just like really good product at a really good price. Get you a really good shave. I am very pleased with Harry's razors, which is saying a lot because I am very particular about what goes on my face. So what they have done to make this even more appealing to everyone is that they've given me a discount code that I can share with you. So what you need to do is go to their website, which is harrys.com. That's harrys.com. And then pick out your starter kit. I have the Truman, and I'm very pleased with that. It's $15, but with that discount code TDO, you get it for $10, and you don't pay shipping. It's just delivered right to your door. When you need new blades, you can order them online, and they're super cheap. Or if you don't want to worry about trying to remember, just sign up for one of their scheduled plans where they periodically send out what you need, and you don't even have to think about it. It's totally awesome. So go to their website, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, and pick up that Truman starter kit. It's the same one that I have. You're going to love it. And then the next time we see each other, we can compare shaves. So thank you, Harry's. All right. The other thing that I wanted to talk about today is a problem that Jim Dalrymple from The Loop is having. And his problem is that he has now developed so much hate for Apple Music that he actually shut down the service and went back to Spotify. And he did that because his iTunes library became so screwed up that he lost over 4,000 songs that he cannot recover.
But that's not the reason.
Well, no, that was a side effect of it.
That was a bullet point. Yeah. A long list.
Fair enough. Yes.
The bigger problems that he was complaining about were Apple Music not adding all songs from an album, and sometimes adding multiples of one song from an album when he would add to his library, and not being able to get that straight. So and then confusing adding songs to his library from multiple albums rather than adding them from the album that he actually asked them to be added from. Mm-hmm. And this is all about playing your albums the way the albums were released.
Right.
You know, right. Yes, you want all the songs, but for some people, listening to an album in order is part of the listening experience. Mm-hmm. And Apple Music was making that very difficult for Jim on a number of different levels. The icing on the cake was when it ate 4,700 of his songs.
So the problem he's running up against is something that I think is probably common for a lot of people, and that's the greatest hits compilation. If you have a greatest hits record, or you know, you buy a box set from when you could, you know, from when that was still a thing. You can buy a collection of songs by an artist, and you may also have each individual album by that artist. And so the example he uses is he has Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde, and he has Bob Dylan's Greatest Hits. And the Greatest Hits album that he added was short three songs because three of those songs were on Blonde on Blonde. So his Greatest Hits album was three songs short. And what he points out is sometimes I want to hear the Greatest Hits album, the whole thing, and sometimes I want to hear Blonde on Blonde, and it's up to me, it should be up to me to decide when I want to hear one and when I want to hear the other, and he shouldn't be three songs short on Greatest Hits just because he has the other record. And I have sort of casually come up against this because I have artists that I really like, where I have a bunch of albums and then singles and then greatest hits or whatever comes out that sort of compiles a bunch of that stuff. And so now those albums are showing up twice. Or those tracks, I mean, are showing up twice. Because, well, I meant them to because I have the album that has that song on it, or I have the single that has that B-side on it. And then I also bought the compilation that has all of those songs on it. So I have, you know, when you put all your MP3s or your whatever Apple calls them in a folder by album or by single, and then you have this other one that's separate, like I have that file twice because it came once with this EP and then it came once with this compilation. And sometimes that happens. And sometimes they're exactly the same and they have exactly the same track length and everything. But sometimes I want to listen to that single and sometimes I want to listen to that compilation. So I don't understand why Apple would be doing it this way. And what's interesting is that I just yesterday saw someone else complaining about exactly the same thing. I clicked on add album and the album wasn't added. Why not? And this is another one of those things that makes me really frustrated, because if you want to do this on your Mac, guess what? You have to use iTunes to do it. And it is unbelievably frustrating because I've been having this problem for a while with iTunes. I bought albums and I download them on my phone. And in order to do that, I have to go to the iTunes store and then more and then purchased and then sort and then find and then download. And once I do all of that and the album is on there, then at some point in the future, my phone at Apple will go, no, your phone does not deserve to have this album on it anymore. I don't care that you paid for it. And then all of a sudden I will go look for a song and that song has vanished from my phone. I don't understand why. I don't understand what makes it happen. I don't understand why adding it to a playlist and syncing it using iTunes the old-fashioned way is also not working. I don't get it.
Okay, so now where I'm going with this now, as I've listened to your amazing rant. By the way, Kelly, you can rant like no one. in the grand scheme of things, is this going to be a problem that makes Apple Music a service people don't want to use? And the reason I ask this, because I mean the problems you're talking about, that's really really frustrating, but Apple Music is there. It's just on our iPhones and our iPads, and it's built into iTunes on our Macs and on Windows PCs. Because it's just there, is that going to be enough to have people continue to use the service regardless of other problems that may be cropping up?
Well, first of all, please note that at least some of what we're talking about right now is inherent to those of us with legacy music libraries.
And in some cases, very big legacy music libraries.
Correct. And for instance, there's a chance that some of Jim Dalrymple's problems was metadata related. We don't know this for sure. There's a chance that he was having some metadata issues. I'm going to be asking him about this later. But cool. There, you know, for a lot of young people, LOL Music Library. Right?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Why would I have a music library? I'm going to stream it.
In which case, this may not be an issue for you.
Exactly. So, no, I don't think this is going to kill Apple Music. I think this is something that Apple needs to address. Adam Christensen was telling us in our morning meeting that from his vantage point, iTunes treats iTunes Store metadata as sacred rather than treating our metadata as sacred. Mm-hmm. And that is a problem. That's something that Apple should fix. But I don't think this stuff's going to kill Apple Music. I just think it's stuff that Apple needs to address. And you know, iTunes Match was never great either. iTunes right. Match had plenty of problems with it. And this isn't Apple's strong suit. Hopefully with enough time, though, Apple can fix these things.
Well, I would like to think so, especially since they bought a company that was already doing this when they bought Beats.
Right. And I think that's what's been really frustrating for some people is like I had a Beats subscription and it was fine. And now I'm doing it as Apple Music and it's all gone haywire. And I just want to point out that the problems I'm having with my library, I don't use iTunes Match. I learned my lesson from Apple about cloud services long, long ago. So I avoid it whenever possible. My frustration specifically with Apple Music has been that all of a sudden the radio stations that I crafted that I was all of a sudden much happier with, because after the launch of Apple Music, they got a lot better, are now hidden. And unless you look under recently, which is something that, maybe this is a tip for people, if you had radio stations that you built and enjoyed, you can still find them under recently listened. But you can't find them any other way. And there doesn't look to be a way to edit them anymore. And so that's been my big Apple Music frustration, is that all of a sudden that stuff is gone and I can't figure out how to get it back.
All right. We are so beyond out of time. So we're just going to have to end, which sucks because I just love when we get to have fun conversations. So listeners, I'm curious, are you having trouble with Apple Music? And if so, what kind of problems are you having? And what I'm hoping is that if you are having issues and we find enough similarities, we can start tracking down why some of these problems are cropping up and then maybe come up with workarounds or fixes. So let me know. You can shoot me an email at observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes, or you can head over to Twitter and leave a message there. My Twitter name for the show is TMO Daily, and let me know. Brian, Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Jawohl.
Happy to.
And Harry's, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Listeners, head over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO and pick yourself up an awesome kit today. And start having an awesome shave, too. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.